Lauren, what's your oldest daughter's name?
Anastasia.
Huh?
Anastasia.
She won my heart today. I've been over, we were fellowshipping, and I turned over and I said, "You sure are a sweet and pretty girl." And she looked at me and she said, "And you're a handsome man." Now tell me.
They've been having a little lying problem.
Is that what the problem is? Yeah. So she said that to you too, huh? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Quick, buddy, quick.
Oh, me. It's good to be here with you guys. It's can you turn that down just a hair? Thank you. It's good to be here. Two bodies that are basically part of the same church, you know, and we've been looking forward to doing this. Our elders met with your elders back a few months ago, and we began to pray together, and we saw that we really had a kindred spirit together, and that there was many good things ahead for us. And so one of the things we want to do is to periodically join together as one big group. And so today's it, the last Sunday of the year. And so I'm excited to be here with you guys, and our church is too. I know it's good to see this many come out today and on a cold, cold day. But we'll get through this, okay? I'm going to have you, if you could, just to join hands with people around you. And I want to pray. I want to open up with prayer. And we'll head off from there, okay? Joining the hands this morning, Lord, this is a symbol of our unity as the body of Christ. And my prayer is, as we have joined our hands together, our hearts will be joined together. Knowing that you are our source of life, knowing that we as two different named groups who are the same body, basically of the body of Christ, we join together desiring for us to see what you have in store down the road, what you have in store right this very moment. And may we each one be willing to submit ourselves totally to you, and that we, Lord, will not allow the enemy to have any way with us. Lord, I pray for wisdom that we can walk this next year with your wisdom, a discerning spirit of that wisdom to make the choices that Holy Spirit leads and guides us to choose. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, the title today is Community. And I thought that's what I just sensed in my spirit that I needed to talk about. A phase of that. Hopefully, it will help us as two churches to understand where we're heading. Now, let me see here. I think I've got. I'm having trouble with clickers here. Kevin, did you get back there and fool with this? Okay. Huh?
Why don't you try this?
Maybe things. My clicker is stopped. Yeah. It turned it on, but that didn't do it either, did it? It was working earlier. All right. What? Oh, there you go. They may be doing it. Well, does it matter which screen I point? Or point back at you guys? All right. I told them if this didn't work, the sermon would be a lot shorter than normal, okay? All right, I'm not doing it. I guess they're going to have to. Well, there you go. Yeah, I'm doing it. Good, thank you. All right, when I look at the two churches, Chris and I, we've been buddies for over 20 years, I'd say. It's been a long time, and we've had a great time together as brothers in Christ, and we pray together on Thursdays, and especially in the last year since we've sensed a calling for us to jump on this community here for the name of Christ. We've been spending more time together, and it's really been a neat union in my heart, as I can see it. And I think our hearts cry the same thing. I'm going to share about three things here, four things that I see that Tatesbrook and Living Hope are so similar in. And the first one is a very, very important one, is that we are relational churches as opposed to being a program-based design church. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. I grew up in a, Chris grew up Catholic, so he didn't get poisoned with all this like I did. But growing up, I grew up in a program-based design church. And what that basically means is that our emphasis was on 1 or 2 hours a week, Sunday morning at 10 to 11 for Sunday school and 11 to 12 for worship. Not that this is a bad thing whatsoever, but what I grew up in understanding was this life as a church was to do things to impress God. And so we developed a program that led us into things. Now, here's the danger of that. When we are a program-based design church, it's very easy for us to become have a man-centered gospel. In other words, most people today that fill the houses of God, they come for what they get out of it, not for what God gets out of it or what other people get out of it. Okay? So a program-based design church makes it very easy for us to fall into that as a trap. Whereas a relational church, it does not mean that we can't fall into that trap even as a relational church. But what we have developed, as you all have developed, is to bring forth to the minds and the hearts of the people that come that you are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that relationship with Jesus is a life-changing event that goes on and transpires throughout your entire life. Right. It's not an event. It is a lifestyle. That's okay? Right. And so we want to relate to him. We want to relate to each other. As Christ desires for us to relate to one another, okay? And so if we can have that mindset, it's going to be easier for us to have a God-centered ministry in church than it is a man-centered through a program-based design, okay? Now, the second thing is that we both have vision for the Tate's Creek area. Your church building sits over here, or about a mile as the crow flies, over on Appian Way. We have, both churches have a heart for this community. This community has a lot of darkness in it. You know that, don't you? There's a lot of darkness here in this place. There's a lot of hopelessness. There's a lot of despair. We've got a lot of things going on. And so we have a mission set before us to do what we can in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be a light in a place of darkness. Okay? Now, okay. Maybe we'll get this thing cleared up here in a second, okay? Okay. We're both kingdom-minded. And what that means is we're not building our own kingdom. You all aren't building your own kingdom. You know, you allowed us to come here today to be a part of you all and us to be a part, you all be a part of us. We do the same thing. We care about the other churches in this city, and we're not here to do something to make our names known. We're here for the cause of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? And then I think I got one more thing up here. Y'all may have to click it. I don't know if this is going to work or not. Okay, that must be it. All right, that's it. I think the fourth one was that you both have good-looking pastors. I can't. Amen. I don't. Maybe that's it. All right, that might be it. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Now, this morning, what I want to begin with, we're going to be. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to this. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I think Corinthians is probably a very good book for us to look at today and to to understand that the community and the society that we live in today is pretty much the same or similar to what was going on in Corinth. Corinth was a church that Paul wrote two letters to. The first letter was basically a letter that he wrote because he planted the church. And he'd been gone for several months, maybe years or so. And they had questions. And their questions were pretty elementary. And when Paul saw these questions, I know it opened his mind and his heart to understand that these people are having some struggles and problems by the questions they're asking. They had several things. They were split like four different ways. You had the culture of Corinth was about, it had Jews there. It had Gentiles, of course, it had Oriental people. It had everything. It was a conglomerate of just about everything in the world at that time. And this caused problems within the church because they were divided in four different ways. They had incest going on in their church. They had excommunicated someone, and they did it in a wrong way. They had civil suits going on, taking one another to the civil courts. Some were visiting prostitutes. They had conflict issues over their of conscience over the food, meats given to idols, wine. Should we drink wine? Should we not drink wine? They had all these things, and very similar to what we live in today. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, these things going on. Now, again, realize that this was going on in the church. And I'm going to share that with you because what I've learned in my years of ministry, there's about three different types of Christians. There's the legalist, there's the libertines, and then there's the people that really truly have a heart for God and seek after Christ with a pure heart. And so the legalists in the church was ready to excommunicate, throw people out, not associate with them. The libertines were on the other end of the spectrum where they wanted to accept everything. And then you had a few there that just truly wanted Christ to be exalted and wanted things to be working in that way. So we see that today as we go, as we walk in the streets of this city, as we walk around this neighborhood, we see a lot of this stuff. And how we respond to that is very important. So today, hopefully, what God shares with us through these scriptures, it can give us a mindset as to how we are to accept people, how we are to walk with people, how we are to stand for the cause of Christ in that. So let's look at this. I'm going to have to turn this way and read because I can't see that back there. All right? All right. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Okay? Go to the next slide. Okay, now. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you all to read this with me, okay? Let's read this together. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that good? Now leave that up there for a second. Now just think about this. We do not preach for ourselves. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, as I shared earlier, I think that's one of the things that we need to make sure in our hearts, that we're not building something for our own selves, but we're doing the things that we do for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is such a foundational, elementary doctrine that we need to take in and make sure we do on a daily basis. Therefore, we do not lose heart, okay? Have you ever felt like losing heart? Yeah, I'm sure everybody here, if you walked as a Christian very long at all, there's days you want to lose heart. But through our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. There's the secret, church, having a renewing of the heart day by day. And we're going to talk a lot about that later. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, now we started out with this phrase, confidence through Christ toward God. Paul said, listen, I have confidence through Christ toward God. Now go to the next slide, the next part. Now, here's our question. I want everybody to ask this question to themselves, okay? Don't look at your neighbor and say, well, I know they don't. But just look at your own life and say, how much confidence do we have in Christ Jesus our Lord? How much confidence do you have? How much confidence do I have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about that. This is not taking a test. This is real life right here, okay? Go next. All right. Here's the question. Is he really enough? Oh, everybody's going to say amen to that, right? But is he really? Go. All right, so do we need Jesus plus? Now, just stop there. Do we need Jesus plus pastors? Do we need Jesus plus this beautiful building? Today, I'm glad we have it, okay? But, I mean, do we need that? What about Jesus plus our elders and our deacons? What about Jesus and plus our ministries? Oh my, that's so important. Where would we be without our ministries? What about Jesus plus the book, the Bible? Huh? Now, everything I've mentioned are good things. They're good things. But my question is Jesus and only Jesus enough? Go to the next slide. So, I believe that no one thing needs to be added alongside with Jesus. Next. The biblical truth of the Father's heart, when you look at 66 books, it concludes this. Now, we're going to be talking about this quite a bit. Jesus Christ is all I need. He's all you need and all the church needs. And, go to the next part, He is all the church should be. He is all the church should be. All right, now, here's the thing. Now, I mentioned all those things, and I know you're scratching your head. Well, gosh, we got a pastor, and I guess we need to get rid of him. We got this bill, I guess we need to get rid of it. I guess we need to do our ministries, and I guess I'll just throw my Bible out, you know. What we need to understand is all those things are already, they're in Him. They're in Him. But they're not the thing that matters. He is all that matters. And for the church to be the church, He is all it should be. He's all the church should be. Now, let's go to the next thing. Now, here's what Jesus said to His Father, John 17, the Lord's true prayer. All right, it's the real prayer. And here's what He said. This is so interesting. Think about this. Jesus, the Son of God, who was facing Calvary. He is facing to die. He knew that. And we know it was so painful for Him that He sweated drops of blood. Not because He's going to be physically abused and ripped apart, but he really truly bled those blood because for the first time in eternity, the Father and the Son were going to become enemies. They were not going to be in relationship. You can imagine that? Can you imagine that? And so here's what He said, though. His heart was for the mission that He'd been, the purpose, the eternal purpose that He was sent into this world for. And you and I are included in this little phrase here. He had us in His mind when He said it. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, talking about the disciples that He had been walking with, but for those also who believe in Me through their word. That's us. That they, listen to this, that they may be one even as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that they sent Me. Church, listen, the greatest definition of who you are is that you're in Christ Jesus. You are a part of Him. He's a part of you. You can't get any closer than that. You can't. A lot of times we pray, Lord, be with us. Well, hey, guess what? He is. He's in you, and you're in Him. All right? Let's go to the next slide. Now, Jesus Christ is enough, and we who are called by His name must grow in our understanding of who He is and what eternal purpose He has established for those who call Him Lord. You know, one of the biggest problems with churches today, people don't know who they are in Christ. They know a lot about Him, but they don't know Him intimately. Chris and I both got a mentor that we love dearly, Peter Lord. In 1980, I went down to his church, and he did a series on knowing God. It changed my life, what the Lord said through Peter Lord. And it made so much sense to me is that so many of us begin to look at God as a function or a characteristic as what He primarily is, like God is a Savior or God is a teacher or God is love or God is holy or God is eternal. He said, what that do, it will lead you off on the wrong path. If that's how you see God primarily. But he said, those of us who know Jesus Christ, who come to know Christ and the Father through Jesus Christ, we must see God as Father. Amen. He is our Father. That's right. And every good father gives his son and his daughters encouragement and love and protection, everything you need. But you see him as Father. So as we understand who we are in him, we know that he is in us, according to Matthew, John 17. That's what Jesus prayed. Father, I pray that like you and I, they will be in us. So let's go to the next one. But we all are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Next slide. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. Colossians, I'll talk about that in a second. But I want you to look at this. Superheroes and fairy tales. How many of you have ever heard the story of Cinderella? Raise your hand. Cresta? Oh, it's on there. Okay. All right. Now, Cinderella is probably one of the most known fairy tales ever. I mean, they've got, I don't know how many movies about Cinderella. And the reason it's so popular is because the story is so cool. This little girl that was beat, that was just mistreated as a stepdaughter by her evil stepmother and stepsisters, and just pushed around, such a sweet girl. And all of a sudden, you know, she was wanting to go to the ball, and they wouldn't let her go. They locked her up. And these little mice, you know, began to make a dress for her, and this pumpkin turned into a carriage, and she got some crystal glass shoes, and she busts out of the cell, and she goes up there to the big palace, and guess what happens? She is the only one that catches the heart of the prince. She is so beautiful. And the next thing you know, they're living happily ever after, and she became the queen, you know, I'm sure. All right. Now, think about Spider-Man. Every skinny white boy in America loves Spider-Man because that's their hero. That gives them hope. Okay? I mean, it really does. You know, just like Cinderella, Peter Parker, or whatever his name is, he transforms into this spider. And he can do everything. I mean, he can throw webs. He can climb any building there is. He's strong. He can throw people around. I mean, it's amazing. Batman. I mean, Bruce, what's his name? Wayne Bruce. You know, Bruce Wayne. Okay. Bruce Wayne transforms into this guy that's just, I mean, every guy loves that. I mean, you know, we want to be like Batman. Batman, by the way, my granddaughter told me that she went and saw Batman versus Superman, and he killed Superman, which I couldn't believe. But that's what she said happened, all right? But here's the point I'm making. Think of all the money that is spent on tickets to go see all these different makes of Superman, Batman, Cinderella, whatever, Spider-Man or whatever. I mean, why is it that people are so amused and enthralled with that? It has to do, guys, with something that's been planted within you by God. Look at here. It says there that you and I are being transformed into the same image of glory to glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, all I've been talking about with Cinderella and Batman and Spider-Man, that's all fake. It's all Hollywood. It hasn't happened. It won't happen. But let me tell you something. There is a greater transformation that's going on in you than anything they can put on the screen. Because you've been changed from a sinner, a human sinner, to a new species called the sons and daughters of God. Amen. And that's our transformation, guys. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. That's right. Isn't that exciting? Go to the next slide, please. All right. We're going to look at four things here quickly that helps us understand this transformation. You're being transformed into his image. You know, Romans 12 tells us, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may know what God's will is. That word transformed, by the way, in the Greek is the same word that was used for when Jesus was transfigured. Same word. So first thing we're going to see is being in the experience of the body of Christ. Being in, that's a good way to phrase that, I think. Being in the experience of the body. Too many people go to church to have an experience. And most of their experience is what they observe. Okay, they just kind of sit back and watch it. But as the church, not going to church, but being the church, you are in the experience of the body of Christ. You matter. What you bring to the table matters as a believer. Amen. All right, second thing, we're going to be more into this, the cross. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4, the other part I didn't read. We're going to read it. Number three, thankfulness and humility. Number four, a continuous and unbroken communion with the Lord. Now, look, just leave that up for a second. Just kind of soak in these things. We're going to talk about each individual. Being in the experience. All right, how am I going to be transformed? We're going to hopefully learn some things about being in the experience, being transformed, how the cross transforms us. Thankfulness and humility, I think those are big ones to transform us. All these are continuous and unbroken communion with the Lord. Okay, now let's go to the first one. All right. So, going down, throw some things up here. Okay. Now, here's the thing you need to understand. Let's look at this thing about a polar bear. Where are polar bears? Where do they live? Not the ones in the zoo, but in the regular natural habitat, where would you find a polar bear? Near the pole. Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it? I like the way my engineer buddy thinks there. Polar bears are close to the pole. All right. What's it like around the pole? It's cold. All right. What color are polar bears? They're white. They blend right in perfectly with their habitat, with their environment. Okay. Now, what suppose you take that polar bear, you catch one, you bring it out here, drop him over here somewhere in eastern or west Kentucky. Let's go west Kentucky cities where he didn't have a lot to do. What would happen to that poor old polar bear? He would die. He would die. Okay, he'd stick out like a sore thumb. Now, here's the thing, guys. When you came to know Christ, something amazing happened in the spiritual realm. Holy Spirit came in you, and he resuscitated that dead spirit and made you alive and made you a child of God. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, I was excited there for me. I thought my message was getting so good, God was throwing some music in there with me. I like that. All right? All right, so you guys, you are a new creation in Christ. You've moved, as Brother Kevin Thomas would tell you moved out of a certain type of life, human life, to a new life, God life. Doesn't make you God. But what it does say is that you now are experiencing God life rather than human life. You are a new creation. So as God has brought us, and we're unlike the polar bear, we can live anywhere in this, but you know, we should have a different change in our lives that happens because of that. So we are transformed of being able to experience Christ in a way that lost people can't experience it. We are in tune with him. We sense his presence. We adore his presence. We desire to behold his presence and grow in that life that he has offered us and lives within us. Second thing here, we see that you and I are a part of a unique species called the sons and daughters of God. Let's go to the next one, okay? And so we are meant to live in community. Now get this. One thing that I learned in the program-based church is that if I showed up on Sunday morning and checked my little card off for Sunday school and all that, or read my Bible and all that, and I sit there and I listen to the sermon and all that, then I probably scored some points with God. And I could go out Monday through, now this, please understand, I'm going to say it, but y'all understand, I grew out of some of this. But I could live Monday through Saturday when I was like hell. Okay, and then go back on Sunday. That was my mindset when I was a kid, basically. Okay, and that's the mindset of a lot of people. It's like they have a spiritual life and a earthly life. But that's not true, biblically true. You have entered into a new community. And that community, really and truly, it shares with me, and it should share with all of us, I think, is that we desire to be with one another. in Christian community? Huh? Walk holy in that community. So the community that we live in, guys, it's meant by God. One day, we're all going to leave this thing called Project Planet Earth, and we're going to enter into, you know, that heavenly bliss, that the sweet by and by. And yeah, we know how that's going to be. Or we don't know, but we think we know what it's going to be. You know, it's not going to be any sin. It's not going to be any crying or sorrow and all that stuff, you know. But I'm telling you guys, God didn't intend for us just to sit around here with our hands in our pockets until that day comes. He has called us into community to grow and to understand and to learn to become the bride of Christ. We're in preparation. How many of you all, how many of you girls had big old church weddings, right? Some of you raise your hand if you did. Okay. I mean, did you just happen to wake up on, you had a wedding, so what time did you get married?
What?
7 o'clock at night. So did you just get up like at 12 o'clock and say, oh, today I'm getting married, I'm going to go to the church and get everything? Lord, no, she probably started a year before that in her planning, you know. And I mean, they went out, you know, I mean, the stuff that they do, I've had $3. Listen, I know how this game works. And it just goes on and on and on. Well, that's a good thing because, you see, that's a picture of how you and I are to be today as a part of the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, and we need to be in preparation for that time, okay? Let's go to the next thing. Sadly, many Christians join a group of believers for selfish reasons. Now, see, that's the thing. A lot of times, people come to church, and they look around, and they make sure they got you got good programs here, you got a good church, good music, and y'all do. You got good children's ministry. You do, until after today, they'll probably quit, because as long as I go, you know. But anyway, you know, that's what people do. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. But if that is your heart and only your heart, it's all selfish. You come here not for what you get out of it, primarily. You come primarily here to see that he gets what he wants and others get what they want. And if you do that, listen, you're going to find out how your heart changes. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Now, here's the second thing. Being in an experience, I've got some more stuff for you. That's right, we need to keep going. Your purpose on this earth is not to experience creature comfort. That hurts, but that's the truth. Okay? You're not here to experience creature comfort. You're here for this purpose right here that's coming up. Your purpose on this earth is to transform into the character and the person of his son, Jesus. That's the transformation part. Allowing Christ to be your life. Okay, now that word renew, we use that in the first, let me share it with you here. The word renewed, I mentioned, I had a little reference to Colossians 3. I don't know what I did with it. Let's see. All right. Colossians 3:10. This word renewed, Paul uses it only twice in the scriptures. It's the only place in the Bible you'll see it. And basically, in the word means being transformed completely into something different. Okay? That's what it means. The renewal of that. Did somebody move Colossians in my Bible? Chris, did you pull a trick on me? Well, that's, all right. Here it is. Okay. Oh, I changed out my Bible. That's what it was. All right, listen to this. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with the deeds. Now, listen to this. You put off and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image whom he has created. He is renewed in knowledge according to the image he has created, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. See, that's what the scripture says there. This renewal process makes you nothing that looks like a human anymore. Although you've got this human space suit on that people is going to recognize you by. But it says this renewal through the knowledge of Christ will change you to understand that Jesus Christ is all and in all. He's all you got. He's all you need. He's all you should want. Let's go to the next one. He's enough. All right, here, let's go. We need to move on. The cross. Now, I'm not talking here about the atoning work of Jesus, that cross. I'm talking about the other one we don't like to talk about. The one that breaks us, the brokenness of the God. Go to the next. Here's the scripture. Jesus said, if you're serious about this thing called Christianity, he didn't say that part. Hello. But here's what he said. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You got to deny yourself. That's brokenness, isn't it? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Take up your cross. It's your cross and my cross. Now, go to the next slide. So, now we're going to read. Here's what we're going to do. 2 Corinthians. All right, I've got it up there, so roll them here. All right, listen. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God will be of God and not from ourselves. I emphasize that, and not, because so many times we are tempted to do things in our flesh rather than by the power of God. All right, go to the next one. We are afflicted. Now listen, this is a good test of whether or not we understand and we're desiring this life with Christ, okay? This renewal process. Paul says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. This sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Okay? Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now listen to this. This is the point about, it's not about you and me, all right? So that who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Next slide. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us along also with Jesus and will present us with you. Now here's, we're going to lead to the next thing. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Okay? Isn't that powerful? Maybe you need to go home this afternoon and study these more. I've had to rush through them. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, I got another one here to read. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay, so what eyes are you looking with? You know, Paul prayed for his eye of his heart. Okay, it's a spiritual eye that can see things, discern things by God's way rather than his own physical way. Next. Okay, here we go. We're moving into this. I underline that word thankful. Now, thankfulness and humility. A transformed believer is a thankful believer. Next part. Now, this isn't being thankful for what you get. Now, I want to think about this. I pray to God. I've learned you praise him for who he is and you thank him for what he's done. But I find that most of my thanksgiving is for what he's done for me. Not that that's a bad thing. We need to do that. We go to the next slide. Our thanksgiving is what Paul's talking about in this scripture here, is being thankful for what the Father and others receive. And that's true humility. In other words, here's something I want to encourage all churches. Tatesbrook, I want to encourage you. When we meet in our home groups, when we meet in our building, we're going to talk, this should be a way of life all the time, every day. But when we do it, I want to encourage us. As we walk in and we see somebody, be thankful to God that he saved that person and that person is in your life. Because God has a reason for that. So many times you just walk past somebody, hey, how you doing here? And here's this dear saint right here that needs to thank you for being part of God's family. Thank you. I mean, we need to have that heart and expression, not just do it for the sake of doing it to feel better about yourself, but realize the work, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ paid for the sins of everybody sitting in this room. And when we understand that, and we know how it's affected our life, we should be thankful for every single person here. Okay? Now, next part. When you enter time of fellowship with believers, all right, I just said that. All right, let's go. Now, Paul made this clear, and I'm going to refer back to that verse 15. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. So that thankfulness that Paul had in his heart there wasn't for what God had done for him personally, but what he'd done for other people. Okay? Listen, that sets you free. Most of us as Christians, I'm speaking from experience, when we allow the enemy to cause us to just focus on our life and our circumstances, it's depressing. It's depressing. But when we begin to thank God for others and what God's doing in lives, and we begin to pour our lives into them, they pour their lives into us, it sets you free. It really does. All right, next slide. This is the last one, I think. A continuous and unbroken communion with the Lord. Now, here's what we mean by that. Like I said, this book is important to our life. It's not Jesus, but it's His Word. Okay? It's a roadmap to us. And so prayer is a great opportunity for us to know who God is and to spend in fellowship and understand His will for our lives. So without us spending time with the Lord and each other, our church is dead in the water. Okay? We are no more than a glorified country club if we just make this a meeting and we go home and we never see each other during the week, or we never think of or call people up and see how they're doing or pray for those people. I said, we're no different than a country club. Matter of fact, people in the country club seem to be have it better than we do. Hey, how many of y'all ever watched the movie Friends or the series Friends or Seinfeld? Are most of it's garbage? But one thing you can learn from them is that they know how to commune. They know how to relate to one another. They know how to take care of each other's needs. I mean, it'd be weird, maybe that. But there's something about that touches my spirit to say, listen, these people understand it better than most church people. They really do. They enjoy being in the presence of each other. And that's what the body of Christ should be. All right? Now, we don't live by the flesh. We live by divine life. And guess what divine life does? Divine life lives in community. Okay? It does. Next. Okay? Now, we're going to do that says community exercise. We're a community. We're going to exercise. Okay? All right, so I want everybody to stand up. We're about finished. And then we'll have some music. All right, now. I want you to recognize the indwelling Lord Jesus Christ. And in His Word, it makes it very clear to us. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is Galatians 2:20. We're going to throw that up here and we're going to say it together. Okay? And I want it just to be more than reciting. I want you to let these words permeate to your very being. Okay? All right, let's say this. I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God who loves me and gave Himself up for me. Isn't that powerful? That's God's word. That's the truth. That's truth. That's redeeming truth. That is transformational truth. You no longer are who you think you are. We go through life, a lot of Christians go through life, you don't want to keep their identity. No, we don't have our identity. We do have our identity, but it's not our main identity. We know we were crucified with Christ on that cross. We no longer live. It's Christ now that lives in us. And the only way that I can live that life, the only way you can live that life, is by faith in the Son of God who has proven His love for you and me. All right, now, let's go to the next slide. This is the fun part. All right? Now, I want you to go to a brother or sister or two or three or however you want to do, okay? And I want you to thank them for being a part of the body of Christ. Now, share, as you share, remember this, that you and them, whoever you share with, are lively stones placed together here in this community to carry out God's eternal purpose together. And of course, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We know that, right? Amen. And so I want you to just go, and you know, this, I want to make sure everybody gets gotten, okay? Everybody gets gotten. Everybody gets gotten, is gotten, okay? And you go and just listen, have them out, thank them. Because this is important. As you learn to practice to do this, it's going to be a lot easier for you to go up to somebody and say, it's easy, this little thing right here. I thank you. I thank you that you're a part of the body of Christ.
I thank you that you're here to preach to this.
Okay, so let's do it. Go. Go. Take off. Make some noise. Now go to somebody maybe you don't know, too. Brother, I thank God that you are part of the body. You're a blessing. You really are. You are a blessing. I don't know. Hey.
Good. Love you, brother. Love you, too. Yeah. Good.
All right. That's all I got. Well, I got one slide. One left. Thank you, brother, and I thank God that you are too. Brother, I
thank you, my brother. You're a good brother.
Love I love it. I'm so thankful
you are. God bless you.
She's got the flu. She was nasty.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're part of the body of Christ.
Me too.
The granddaughter, I'm so thankful you're part of the body of Christ.
Me too. Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for you too. That you're part of the body. It's a blessing. Okay. Hey, brother.
Thank you.
Well, I'm thankful for you as my own body.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Listen. Hey, give me some loving here, buddy. I'm thankful you're part of the body.
Love you, brother.
You're good. Paul, thank you for being part of the body of Christ.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for being part of God. Well, good, good. I'm encouraged too. It's Spirit of God's here. Yeah. Hey, brother. Glad you're part of the body. Glad y'all are here with us too. Y'all are blessed. Your mom and dad. Yeah, well, Tony didn't give you good directions.
Well,
thank you.
And I've got a confession.
Okay.
The phone that went off was mine.
Oh. I like it. I like it. I like it. Love you, brother. Hey, brother, thank you for being a part of the body.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, sweet thing, too. Hey, thank you for being a part of the body.
God bless you.
I said I was going to come up here to take you up and get
it. Well, anytime. We'll get you. Yeah, we'll get you guys to come up sometime. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the body. You too, brother. God bless you. Clint, praise you. He's in. All right, thank you. Thank you for being a part of the body. You too, brother. Thank you for being a part of the body. Yeah. Love you, Tim.
Bless you, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I don't want that. I thank you for having to stay with this. It happens.
It kind of took over.
It happens. It happens. Hey, man. Thank you, brother, for being a part of the body. All right.
Are we done?
I got one more slide, and they're going to have some praise.
Better do it.
I know it. That's right. Okay. Tony. Thank you. All right. Y'all having too much fun here. I did. Well,
thank you for being a part of the body, dear.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you for your message.
Well, you're very welcome. Praise Him. Amen. I got one more slide. One more slide. Joel, y'all, come on up. I got one more slide here. Okay, I want everybody to stay standing, and we're going to say this together, okay? Let this kind of be our New Year's resolution here, okay? You ready? Jesus Christ is all the church needs, and He is all the church should be. Amen. All right.
I guess we're going to sing now.
It doesn't work.
We're going to have to give a minute.